on Hate Street. This is Spielbot.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco, Baja Cascadia. Today is the 7th of December, 2017. On this date, in 43 BCE, Cicero is assassinated by soldiers of the Second Triumvirate as they tried to flee Italy. 1787, Delaware is the first state to ratify the United States Constitution, influencing generations of license plates. 1941, the Japanese Navy surprise attacks Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. 1949, the government of the Republic of China moves from Nanjing to Taipei. And in 1988, a 6.8 magnitude earthquake hits northern Armenia near Gyumri, killing between 25 and 50,000 people. Birthdays are Italian artist Lorenzo Bernini in 1598, American writer Willa Cather in 1873, American linguist, philosopher, and hellraiser Noam Chomsky in 1928, and American musician Tom Waits in 1949. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. It is not my birthday. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TpielPod.com or send us an email at TpielPod, TBLPOD, at gmail.com. Former president of Georgia, speaking of hellraisers, and leader of Ukrainian political party New Movement, New Movement Forces, Misha Saakashvili, was briefly detained, kind of, in Ukraine on the 5th, 2 days ago, after calling for protests against Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko on the 3rd. Poroshenko said that the goal of the protest organizers was to destabilize Ukraine, and Misha was initially wanted for, quote, assistance to members of criminal organizations and covering up of their criminal activity, end quote, accused of organizing protests in exchange for money from exiled former President Viktor Yanukovych. Misha has now been charged with criminal attempt, a criminal offense committed by a group of persons upon prior conspiracy, and assistance to members of criminal organizations and covering up of criminal activity committed by an official. In response to these allegations, Misha said, "There is no more bitter foe of Putin in the world than me, and the accusation that I am linked to Russia is completely absurd." Chief Prosecutor Yuri Lutsenko accused him of organizing rallies in order to seize power with the help of businessman Serhii Kurchenko, who Lutsenko describes as a member of the criminal organization of ex-president Viktor Yanukovych. The prosecutor's office released a recording that purports to show that Misha's political activities are funded by Kurchenko. The authorities have also arrested a Ukrainian-Georgian associate of Misha's that they say mediated between Misha and Kurchenko. Security forces arrived at Misha's house in Kiev before 7 a.m. and began breaking down the door. Before his arrest, he went to the roof of his apartment building and called on his supporters to rally before being forced down and into a police van. His supporters then blocked the street and prevented the van from leaving for about 4 hours. Police used pepper spray in attempts to get the crowd to disperse. The crowd did not disperse, and instead Misha's supporters broke into the van and set him free. Misha then led his followers to a rally by the Ukrainian parliament, with his handcuffs dangling from one arm. Before the rally, he said, "Those losers do not know who they are dealing with. I was born for victory together with the Georgian and Ukrainian peoples." He then urged his supporters to demand the resignation of the general prosecutor and leadership of the security services and the impeachment of President Poroshenko. He told a BBC reporter that he hoped to become prime minister after the removal of Poroshenko, as he is not constitutionally permitted to become president. The security services announced that Misha had 24 hours to turn himself in, or the entire law enforcement system of Ukraine will do everything necessary to arrest him. Again. He stayed in a tent outside of parliament, did not turn himself in, though he was apparently willing to receive an investigator into his tent. He is now on the Ukrainian wanted list. Ukrainian police entered the tent camp to try and arrest him, failed again, and injured some protesters while they were at it. 11 police officers were also injured throughout the day. There are reports that Misha was unable to take a shower in a Kiev hotel due to his position on the wanted list. Misha's apartment was subsequently searched by Ukrainian security services, the SBU, investigators from the Prosecutor General's office. A spokesman for the SBU did not say why the apartment was searched. The Georgian Prosecutor General's office says that they were not notified of the impending search or arrest. Some news outlets reported that Misha was threatening to throw himself off the roof rather than allow himself to be arrested. Other outlets are claiming that he actually tried to kill himself. various Kremlin channels and bots are having a field day with all of this. Almost everything is on video. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters that Saakashvili has gone along a thorny path from eating his tie to climbing on the roof. And Russian state television has been covering the events very enthusiastically. The United National Movement in European Georgia came out strongly in support of Misha, with UNM MP Nika Melia saying Saakashvili's detention is a coordinated revenge by the oligarchic regimes of Ivanishvili and Poroshenko against the Georgian and Ukrainian peoples fighting for freedom. UNM organized a rally in support of Misha by the Rustaveli metro station on Wednesday afternoon. Several thousand people showed up chanting "Misha, Misha," holding a banner that says "For Georgia's victory" and waving Georgian and Ukrainian flags. At the rally, Melia said that today has confirmed that if Ivanishvili and Poroshenko do not withdraw from their intentions, a lot of people will take to the streets in Tbilisi and won't quit protesting. State Security Services, SSS, has announced that ISIS member Ahmed Chataev was among those killed in the Isani operation on the 22nd of November. The investigation, with the help from Americans, including FBI agents, used fingerprinting, DNA, and other investigative activities to confirm his death. The identities of the two dead terrorism suspects have not yet been discovered. The SSS also shared a few more details about the operation investigation. Finally, the operation was begun after Georgian authorities received information from international partners, and the first stage of the operation included several hours of negotiation with the suspects for their surrender. The two currently unidentified suspects were killed by security forces during the operation, while Chateyev apparently blew himself up in the apartment. The security services found a cache of weapons in the woods that they think the suspects took their weapons from. The Interior Minister, Georgi Gakharia, said that they are not yet sure how the suspects entered Georgia, but it was done illegally. The SSS denied reports that two other suspects escaped, that Turkish forces helped with the operation, and that an illegal arms-dealing suspect arrested in Kobuleti was related to the group targeted by the operation. Member of the Elders Union of the Pankizi Gorge responded to the SSS briefing, saying that they did not believe that Chataev had any bad intentions. That he thought that Chataev and his companions entered Georgia on bypass roads and that Chataev might be buried in the Pankizi Gorge. Head of the SSS, Vakhtang Komalauri, said that there are two theories about what the suspects had planned to do in Georgia, but did not share them. The NATO-Georgia Commission met in Brussels on the 6th. The commission discussed NATO-Georgia cooperation and the security situation in and around Georgia. Foreign Minister John Alidze visited Brussels this week for the NATO Foreign Ministers meeting. He met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, Italian Foreign Minister Angelino Alfano, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Swiss President Doris Leuthard visited Georgia on an official visit on the 3rd and 4th. She met with President Georgi Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili, and Parliamentary Chairman Kobakhidze. Parliamentary delegation led by Kobakhidze is visiting Sweden this week, where they met with or will meet Swedish Riksdag Speaker Urban Ahlin and other Swedish members of parliament, Foreign Minister Margot Wallström, Prime Minister, State Security for International and EU Affairs Hans Dahlgren, State Secretary to the Minister for EU Affairs, Trade, Oscar Stenström, Director General of the Swedish International Development Agency Karin Jamtin, and King Carl Gustav XVI of Sweden. Montenegrin Parliamentary Chairman Ivan Brakovic visited Georgia this week. He met with Kobakhidze, Margvelashvili, and Kvitakashvili and spoke at an international parliamentary conference entitled Embracing Diversity for Stronger Unity. 12 NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, released a statement last week titled Legislative Amendments to Reinstate and Strengthen the Soviet-Style Practice of Planting Security Officers on an Unprecedented Scale. The amendment in question are part of Otsneva's recent restructuring and relate to the merging of the State Security Service and the Foreign Intelligence Service. One amendment reinstates the right of the SSS to plant secret agents anywhere they want to. The Intelligence Service currently is permitted to do this, but the NGO interpret the widening of this ability to the entire SSS as an attempt to revive the Soviet ODP, or Active Reserve Officer System, which they believe will lead to increased abuse of power and undermine Georgia's democratic institutions. Several days after the statement was released, Otsneba announced that their structural reform plans will be changed and that the intelligence service will no longer be merged with the state security service. Plans to abolish the Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources Protection have divided Otsneba, with Otsneba members of parliament from the Otsneba Greens faction in the Environmental Protection and Natural Resources Committee opposed to the government's plan. Member of parliament Gia Gachichiladze, oh my God, that guy's still around, chairman of the Otsneba Greens faction, said that the plan would weaken environmental protections and the transfer of some of the Ministry of Environment's functions to the Ministry of Economy would create serious conflict of interests. Otsneba Member of Parliament Shota Shalelashvili published an open letter on Facebook to Prime Minister Kvitakashvili, arguing that Georgia should become the first state after the United States to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Otsneba Member of Parliament Zvia Kvanchantiradze and Simon Nozadze, an Alliance of Patriots Irma Inashvili, commented in support of the idea, of course. Kvitakashvili responded that senior members of Parliament should not communicate with him on sensitive issues via open letters on Facebook, while Parliamentary Majority Leader Archil Talakvadze stressed that the idea was Shalelashvili's personal idea and not Otsneba policy. Parliament confirmed Eva Gotseridze to the Constitutional Court with 90 votes. Her term will last 10 years. UNM MP Gotseridze described the vote as a final step in the subordination and politicization and degradation of the Constitutional Court. Parliament also confirmed Hanino Lomjadia as the new public defender with 96 votes to 5. European Georgia did not take part in the vote, complaining that the candidate selection process had taken place in secret, despite Otsneba's consultations with various NGOs. The Alliance of Patriots nominated journalist Gyorgy Popkhadze. After her nomination, Lomjadia said that she would focus on the socially vulnerable, elderly, homeless, disabled women and children, and people with mental illness. Parliament approved some changes to the 2017 budget. The revisions show an increased economic growth forecast and resulting increased revenue. As a result, 8 ministries will receive additional funding from 5 to 106 million lari. Two 16-year-old boys died in a fight at a Tbilisi public school after being stabbed. 2 other boys have been charged with premeditated murder. 3 more have been charged with failure to report a crime. If convicted of murder, the boys could be sent to jail for 13 to 17 years. Shortly afterwards, the Minister of Education, Michal Chenekeli, announced a joint strategy with the Interior Ministry to counter underage crime, which includes strengthening the role of school guards and increased coordination between school guards and the police, as well as new conflict prevention and mediation programs, educational campaigns about bullying and violence, and a 24-hour counseling hotline for students. An investigation into the death of Pata Paliashvili in police custody in Tbilisi in October has concluded that he died of acute respiratory failure caused by alcohol intoxication. There were no signs of violence on his body, but the investigation is still looking at whether other actions by police were justified. Witnesses say that after Paliashvili drunkenly yelled at police officers, he was handcuffed and collapsed. After his collapse, bystanders asked police to remove the cuffs, and they did not. A March agreement between Moscow and South Ossetia on integration of South Ossetian units into the Russian military has reached the Duma for ratification. The 51st Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism meeting took place in Gali, Abkhazia, on the 28th of November. A lot of issues discussed, including the murder of Gia Orkhozoria, cases of people detained by Sukhumi authorities for long terms, and borderization. Abkhazian President Raul Khadjimba traveled to North Ossetia, where he met with leaders Vyacheslav Bitarov, members of the Abkhazian Foreign Ministry and Ministry of Economy, visited Moscow to consult with their Russian counterparts. Simon Agrava, head of the Abkhazian Investment Agency, visited Jordan and met with local businessmen, members of the Circassian diaspora, and Speaker of the Jordanian Parliament, Atef Tarawane. Russian military announced that it had supplied over 100 new military vehicles to its base in Abkhazia since 2014, including T-72B3 tanks and BTR-82AM armored vehicles. Abkhazian exports of citrus, guavas, and persimmons to Russia this year were a third of what they were in 2016, after brown marmorated stink bugs have devastated crops. The Scottish city of Kilmarnock has decided to reinstall their recently controversial Abkhazian war memorial without any changes for the time being. The monument has been in place since the 90s, what recently attracted the attention of the Georgian ambassador to the UK, who asked the Scottish government to remove it for containing politicized symbols and not being consistent with UK support for Georgian territorial integrity. The city council has invited all interested parties to take place in a meaningful dialogue to decide on the future alterations. Senior Georgian Orthodox clerics and leaders from the Armenian Catholic and Muslim communities visited the United States on a five-day study visit funded by the British Embassy and organized by the Center for Development and Democracy. There they participated in an interreligious conference on the role of religion in democracy and on the anti-Western propaganda organized by the National Endowment for Democracy. International Monetary Fund Executive Board released a review of Georgia's finances as part of its extended arrangement under the Extended Fund Facility for Georgia. The IMF approves of the 2018 budget, which appropriately targets further fiscal consolidation and steps taken to constrain inflation. They note that Georgia critically needs to reform education. The review allows for the disbursement of about $42 million to Georgia. Georgia expects to receive over $2 billion from international tourism this year. In the first half of 2017, tourism was up 26% over 2016 and now accounts for 6.8% of Georgia's GDP. Kutaisi International Airport has rapidly increased its number of annual travelers from about 12,000 in 2012 to 300,000 in 2016. As a result, the airport is already planning an expansion, which could allow the airport to serve up to 1 million travelers in 2 years. The current plans for the expansion include a lot of outdoor spaces and will connect the airport to trains going to Tbilisi and the coast. Starting in January, Georgia will begin inspections of vehicles for roadworthiness. The inspection of all vehicles will start in 2 years, with vehicles of large engines and more than 8 passenger seats in January. In July, they'll move to state-owned vehicles. Another category of large engine vehicles will start in October. The remainder will start in January 2019. Powerful engine vehicles inspection will cost about 100 lari. Normal car inspections will be 60 lari. Brakes, steering mechanisms, suspension, visibility, lights, emissions, tires will be checked. If a vehicle does not pass the inspection, the driver will be given 1 month to make changes. If the driver does not fix the problem, there will be a 50 lari fine. Cars 4 years old or newer are not required to be inspected. Cars between 4 and 8 years old will be inspected every 2 years, and cars 8 years old or older will need to be inspected annually. After the recent discovery of ancient wine compounds near Tbilisi, the Guinness Book of World Records now lists Georgian wine as the oldest wine in the world. Previous record was held by Iran. Finally, Nana Evkimishvili and Simon Gross's film My Happy Family is now on Netflix. The movie is about a woman trying to free herself from the confines of her marriage and family. Village Voice said the film may well be the best film of the year, describing it as mesmerizing and achingly true. The meme this week is a video of Misha's rooftop arrest dubbed with Georgian dance music that sounds sort of like a hurumi, but I don't think that's it. It's pretty funny. Other visions with different types of music have been made. OC Media wrote about the impact, or lack thereof, of Abkhazia's January 2017 labor code on workers. The bill gives workers a lot more rights than they actually have, mandates contracts for all employment, creates a labor inspector, but has not been enforced very well. Chaikhana wrote about the lives of stateless people in Georgia who have lost documentation or never had it and are thus unable to access services and basic rights. They cover three different stories, including that of Miguel, a homeless half-Nigerian, half-Armenian man raised in Georgia but born in Russia. Malika, who was born in Grozny but lost her Soviet passport and never replaced it. And Violeta, an Abkhaz woman who supported staying with Georgia during the Civil War and lost all of her documents in a taxi. Jam News wrote about the impact of the Treaty of Kars in Ajara's and Turkey's Machakala Gorge, which is divided in two by the treaty. During the Soviet period, the border was strictly controlled. Families were divided. However, the division is artificial, and the ways of life on either side of the gorge are similar to this day. Families on both sides support themselves with livestock and beekeeping. Houses look the same. Because of geographical isolation of the Turkish section of the gorge, locals still speak Georgian and participate in Georgian traditions, unlike Georgian populations elsewhere in Turkey. the border of the gorge is closed, but during the winter, the Turkish village are cut off from the rest of Turkey and can come into Georgia to access emergency medical services. Chaykhana also posted a video entitled Left at the Mercy of God about lonely lives of the last aging couple in the village of Kobi near the South Ossetian border, which is not a border, of course. It's an ABL. The video shows day in the life shots and stories of the ruins the couple live in and their history of the war. Post Pravda publishes an article titled Tbilisi is Fucking, documenting Tbilisi's new sexual confidence with Omara Gogichaishvili. About changing sexual attitudes and practices in Tbilisi, the growing middle class, apps like Tinder and Grindr, activists from group like Equity Movement, and the nightclub scene are all contributing to more open views of sex and sexuality. All this stuff to read is posted in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 501, the number of meters the Tbilisi funicular travels. American Friends of Georgia Christmas Gala this Saturday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at the Biltmore Hotel. The event will raise funds for the renovation of the Zegvi shelter to protect vulnerable children, abandoned elderly people, handicapped adults, orphan children, and single mothers. The event will include a reception, live auction, raffle prizes, dance party, and New Year's surprises. Rally in support of drug decriminalization is planned for the 10th at 5 p.m. at Rose Revolution Square in Tbilisi. Also on the 10th, independent group of feminists is planning a Take Back the Night event at 7:30 in Hero Square in Tbilisi. They will also be screening the film The Hunting Ground in Georgian at the new Ziudi Cafe at 8 p.m. The 11th of December is International Tango Day, and there will be a number of events planned in Tbilisi and around it. On the 8th at 8 p.m., there will be an Argentine tango class and a milonga at Cafe 1904, taught by Yakov Shonsky. On the 10th at 12:30, there will be another class in Milonga, taught by Levon Guelauri and Cecilia Costa at Cafe Linville. On the 20th, at 8 p.m. on the 10th, there will be a class by Tekla Gogriciani, a Milonga, and a tango film shown at Cafe Theater. Finally, on the 11th at 8 p.m., there will be a group tango performance at Tiflis Brunch. Finally, this is the last week to see the exhibition From Travelings by Lithuanian photographer Vitas Lukas at the Simon Janashia Museum in Georgia. The exhibition closes on the 13th. Lukas was one of the founders of the Lithuanian School of Photography and is remembered for pushing back against the Soviet authorities' expectations for photographers. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2009, Amsterdam. This is Caro Emerald, and Back It Up.